Hi, my name is Valerie Coleman, and I am the host of the new College of the Ozarks podcast, Our Story. The vision of College of the Ozarks is to develop citizens of Christ-like character who are well-educated, hardworking, and patriotic. From passionate professors to first-generation college students, each one has left what is easy and known to reach for something more. Their stories are inspiring. Some of them will bring you to your knees. Some will make you stand and cheer. Step into the shoes of the cycle breakers. You won't regret it, and you just may come away inspired. Welcome, everyone, to today's podcast, Our Story for College of the Ozarks. And I have with me a very special guest, and I'm so thankful that he could take a little time away. It is springtime at College of the Ozarks, so it's very busy. But I have with me today Ryan Knight, who serves as our Dean of Students. And as he serves in this role, Ryan oversees student life, including the residence directors, the RAs, and student activities director. He moved into this role after serving as student life director, and before that, served on the academic side. And so Ryan spends a lot of time investing in our students. He cares deeply for them. He cares about their well-being. It is very evident in everything that he does. So we're so thankful for him and his commitment to the college. He and his family spend a lot of time on campus, in the CAF, interacting with students. And from what I hear, the students absolutely love that. So welcome to the podcast, Ryan. I can't wait to hear more about your vision for this campus and for our students and what makes you tick.
Well, thank you so much for letting me be here. I love telling the story of College of the Ozarks, and I need to tell the story right now that you are doing a fantastic job, and we love all that you bring to our community.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
We work with good people, don't we?
We work with great people. Yeah, it really makes work feel not so much like work. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a great team.
I love going to my job each and every day.
Yeah. And these podcasts, you know, I'm so thankful for the podcast format, even as we just let people allow their story to unfold a little bit. I think I may have shared that with you. You know, when we come on the radio from time to time for our interviews, they're short and staccato and brief, and you got to get it out. And we're usually talking about some great event or something going on, because there's always something going on, right?
Oh, yeah. And that's the beautiful thing, is there's so many stories from so many different angles.
That's right.
Obviously, we have the story of students who are all over the place with so many different backgrounds, but we also have the stories of the staff and the faculty and the donors, the people that support us so we can do this mission of loving on college students. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
That's right. And that is exactly that full circle. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I don't know how many people really realize how much it takes to provide the education that we do. And the students, of course, work to offset the cost of their education, and they love having that sense of accomplishment in that and that sense of ownership in it. But there's a lot of partners and friends that come alongside us to support what we do. And
yeah, that's so true. And, you know, most institutions, they have just like maybe one or two distinctives. But I feel like College of the Ozarks has so many distinctives. I mean, the fact that we are a work college, the fact that we have students who come that may not get to go to a college if it wasn't for us being in existence. And then the fact that we are focused on Christ, that we're focused on this mission of bringing people to the feet of Jesus. And I think that's an amazing thing.
Amen. Amen. And look at this, before I even start asking these questions and where we're going with this. And I love it, your passion for the students. And it bubbles up, it shines through, and it's ever present with you. I love it. I love seeing your emails that come through. You are loved and you matter. You know, when you first took over your role as Dean of Students, and I first started seeing those emails come through, I was like, you know what? This is a good thing. Students are going to respond to that, because we all need to hear that.
I agree. And, you know, when I was able to take the role of Dean of Students, it was, first of all, left in an amazing spot. One of my colleagues, his name is Dr. Nick Sharp, and he taught me so much. I was able to work under him. He moved over to the Dean of Work side of things, and he is he's been
another
doing.
Very important role,
so,
right?
So important, and mm-hmm. he has done amazing things with it. And you know, signing off my emails with "You are loved and you matter," that is something that is really important to me because, as you said, people need to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many of our students to be, maybe it's a little sad, but it's true. They've not heard that before.
That's
that
right.
They are loved, that they do matter. But in essence, I think what it's really trying to do is emulate the message that Jesus Christ wants to give us each day.
Amen.
That we are loved, that we matter, that when we are working towards a goal, it does matter. You know, that's a distinctive message. We always also try to tell them that, you know, they're a pleasure to be around because we don't ever want college students to think that they're a hassle or to think that they're not
that
worth
it's a
it.
Chore.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I also think the fact that the way that our college is, you know, put together and there is a wait list and not everybody gets in right away.
Right.
College students can tend to think that they're replaceable, and they're not. We truly feel like each student that is there in the fall, is there in the spring, they're not replaceable because the way that colleges work, your enrollment is the largest it will ever be at the very beginning. And when someone leaves, that no one takes their place.
Mm.
And it matters to us. They matter. We really want them to stay with us, and we want to see those students grow. I mean, that's the whole thing. We're talking about stories, getting to see a freshman and then graduate as a senior and then get to see their life, see them, you know, start a family, start a job, all these different things. And we get to be a part of those stories as, mm-hmm. as people that work for this institution. It's a true blessing.
Wow. Ryan, you just hit on so many things in that one paragraph of thought, and it's important, the timing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they are waitlisted, and that is going to come up again and again as we tell these stories on the podcast, and already has. But what I'm seeing is that even in that, that's God's timing, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
If you are chosen to be there and start in spring, that is what God intended for you. There's a reason you're starting in spring.
There's a special purpose. There's a special reason. Maybe it's because you're going to be with a certain character camp mom and pop that right. wouldn't have been there in the fall that you know, maybe you needed, or maybe they needed you. And that's the other thing. It's not only that, you know, we feel like the students need College of the Ozarks. We need students.
They make
our community. They make our the place where we want it to be. And that's what is exciting about working with great young people.
That's right. That's right. Well, I feel like over the course of today, we'll talk about some more of these initiatives or thoughts or programs or things that you're working on currently. But I would like to, if I may, just back up a little bit and have you talk to us about your family and how you came to be at C of O, because I'm sure you as well can kind of look back and say, wow, I know that God had a hand in this. We don't always know what to expect, and the path is sometimes like this. I'm making a squiggly line through the
yes.
air. But talk to us about what brought you and your family to serve in this role.
Well, I have been in the education realm for so long, for roughly 25 years.
Okay.
I was an elementary school teacher. I taught third grade for several years. Then I also was a principal for several years.
Wow.
And during that time, just through, I would say, miraculous circumstances, the Lord really brought us to College of the Ozarks. And what's funny about that is my mother-in-law and father-in-law, they run a place called the Potter's House. It's in Springfield. It's across from Missouri State University. My father-in-law is no longer living, but my mother-in-law still runs it. But I remember roughly 23 years ago, working on the floors with my wife. We were sanding floors at the Potter's House.
Mm-hmm.
And college student after college student comes in and says, "Where's Stephen Berna? Where's Stephen Berna? I need to talk to them. I need to talk to them right now." And we're like, "I don't know where they are." And like, just kept happening over and over and over. And I remember looking at my wife and saying, "Oh, sweetheart, I don't think I can work with college students. They are so needy." And she's like, "Oh, I know." And then lo and behold, when you say things like that, the Lord presents his mission for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's really our story is somehow we end up at College of the Ozarks. And it's not a job. It's a career. It's a mission. It's a mission that my wife and I share together. I mean, we can talk about this a little bit later, I'm sure. But when you really get involved with students, you start to become part of their story to the point where they, when they graduate, they ask you to do their wedding. I've done so many weddings for these college students. You get to experience when they have kids, you get to experience their new jobs. They share these ups and downs, and you get to be a support system for them. And I think that's the common thread that I think goes through, you know, what brought us to College of the Ozarks and what keeps us here is that we want to be a resource for people. And I would say young adults, but those young adults, they get older. And there are some
quicker
young adults
than they know they will.
Well, some of those young adults are peers of mine now.
Right.
I actually serve on a teaching team at a church with a former college student, which is it's beautiful.
What is that like? Is that kind of cool to look around?
I love it because I always saw something special in this young man, and he sometimes saw it and sometimes didn't.
Yeah.
And then seeing this young man reach his potential with his wife and with his church, and oftentimes asking us questions as a teaching team that are really just rack our brains, and we're thinking, I am so happy that this person is here so we can make this all work and work right.
Wow, that is cool. You know, I've had that same experience just this week in a meeting, and a person who, a young man who just graduated last December. And you just go, wow, you know, we really are preparing students to take their place at the table of influence. And so I love what you're saying about investing in them and helping them to see their God-given potential, because you're right, they don't always see that, or they don't know for sure what they want to do, or they don't they just haven't really grown into yet all of those giftings and callings. And so it's a fun process.
Yeah. And when I hear you say that, I mean, it brings back that whole idea of the fact that, you know, we say that these being part of these students and being part of their story, you and I are not anomalies. Like we are among a large group of faculty and staff. That's why we're here.
That's
why we do it. And
that's right.
It is so rewarding. I can just think of so many of my colleagues who tell me stories, or I get to witness the story unfold in front of me, where they are living life with these young adults. And it's not just changing the young adult's life. It's changing their life.
It's changing
the fabric of their family. I mean, I can attest to it myself. When interacting with college students, I see how my family gets enriched. Some of my children, some of their favorite people are college students. I mean, they're by far favorite people.
And so tell us, that brings up a good point. Tell us how many children you have and their ages, because you have little ones and bigger ones. And
yes. Okay. Well, we'll start with the oldest. My oldest son is actually a freshman. He corrected me the other day. He said he's a sophomore.
Oh, at college by credits. He's
by
a
credits,
sophomore.
I know, but I'm like,
okay,
come on, man.
You're like, just finish 1 year
just
at college and then
year,
talk
and then
to
I'll
me.
I'll make you a sophomore.
Okay.
He's 19. Fantastic. I have just the other day, my other son, he turned 13, excuse me, 17.
Okay.
I have a daughter who is 13.
Okay.
Then a son that is 9, almost 10, and then a little baby daughter who's awesome. She's 7. Some people think she looks like she's 5 or 6, but she's 7 years old, and the Lord saved our most adventurous child probably for our last.
Really?
And yes.
Your little girl is your adventurous one?
They're all pretty adventurous, but she is the one that we keep our eye on the
okay.
most.
So, okay. Yeah. She knows no fear.
No strangers.
No strangers. Okay.
She's a connector.
Okay. She's a connector. Well, how perfect is that? Because she's got some siblings to connect with. She's got Yeah. I'm sure she counts all of those C of O students now as siblings, right?
She does. We have we would have a very big family. Just the other weekend, we had a couple that were former students come over, and then we had at the same time we had another young lady who just got married, who was one of our students, and she stayed with us. So my little Campbell, my little 7-year-old, she was so excited that we have so much exciting company. So it's pretty great.
That's awesome. I know that's got to be so entertaining for them, but not just entertaining, but something to really aspire to. Mm-hmm. I love thinking about that because I know the students love, and they've come and told me, hey, you know, seeing Ryan Knight on campus in the CAF, eating in the CAF with his family, with his wife and his kids, it just makes us feel like he's accessible and he's real. And that really impacted me and got me thinking about a lot of things, which you and I have talked since then. But
well, you know, and once again, that it's not just the Knights, not Team Knight. It's so many different people on campus because that is like the norm. I look at my, I have the opportunity to work with RDs, resident directors, and seeing them interact on the clock, off the clock, but walking on campus with their family, babies in tow. I mean, just it's what our students need to see. And let me give you an example why. This is not the story for every student by any means, but there are so many of our students who have not seen a healthy, functional environment. And every family has a level of dysfunction, but there are many that have not been able to experience what it looks like to have a involved father,
right,
or an involved mother. And, you know, in your intro, you talk about the story of CVO, and it makes me a little bit emotional just thinking about it.
But I know.
There are so many students that come to us who, you know, maybe their mom struggled with addiction. Maybe they had to be the parent to their younger siblings. And then they come to college and they see something and they don't understand that that the way that they were brought up, it's not the norm. And it's hard for them to realize that at first, but then they start to see what healthy looks like. And I think that if I was to say, like, what is my vision? What is my goal as the Dean of Students? I want students to experience healthy community and see people around them, like these people that are employed by this school, as resources. Every single person is a resource. And I want them to use those resources so that they can have a successful life. And I know that success looks different for different students. Some are going to be very work-minded. But in my definition of success is a person who is loving the Lord with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul, and, you know, contributing to their family and developing people. Because if they are developed, then they're going to develop others. That's the vision. I think the overarching vision for, you know, Dean of Students, residence life, student activities, all of these things is just to invest in people, put in those deposits.
That's beautiful. That's the big picture right there.
I think it is.
We can get spend all day talking in the weeds about specifics, but that is the big picture. And I'm so glad that you're able to really state it so well and state it in a nutshell for everyone, because I love to paint this picture. And you talk about this picture of healthy and this vision of healthy, and that you want that for our students. And I've heard, you know, my boss and your boss, Dr. Sue Head, we have the same boss, you know, so she's our vice president for cultural affairs and is over your area and my area as well. But I've heard her talk about, when she talks about preparing students for their seat at the table of influence, she talks about that being your family table.
Yes.
I have heard her specifically say that. And I love that because it hits at exactly what you're talking about, is moving through your life and investing in the people right around you. And if you think about this, if you're showing up to your life, being the best mom, being the best dad, being the best sibling, the best son, daughter that you can be, and loving on those people right in your vicinity. Mm-hmm. If everybody did that, we wouldn't have the dysfunction or the problems or the things that then we have to go out right and try and correct.
It's so you're exactly right.
It's that important.
And I think about like the little things.
Mm-hmm.
We've had students who just come and hang out with our family.
Mm-hmm.
And we are, you know, we eat dinner and they will be watching a movie or something. And I'll be like, hey, it's time to get the little ones to bed. And it's so funny how you would think that this would be like a one-time thing, but there have been multiple young men who said, hey, can I see how you do that?
Wow.
Just the act of putting your kids to bed, mm-hmm. having a bedtime ritual, the little sayings that I have with each one of my kids before they go to bed, mm-hmm. praying together.
Mm-hmm.
And students want to see that. And it's not just because they want to learn. It's because students get kind of confidence. They get stability mm-hmm. out of seeing others have stability. They get an energy. Energy is probably the wrong word, but they are able to feel more secure mm-hmm. when they see consistency.
Well, it gives them hope.
Oh, hope. That's the perfect way to put it.
It gives them hope because honestly, all of us are showing up to life going, okay, can I do this to some degree, right? Like even if you've come from healthy Christian background and everything, it still seems a little daunting sometimes. And I remember being a college student and thinking those same things. Is it just seems so big. It seems so big to think about graduating, having a family.
Yes.
And it feels far off to mm-hmm. them too. I think like, in eons, I'll be this.
And then they're in their last semester and they're freaking out.
Yeah.
They're like, I don't know what's next.
Right.
And they want to know.
Right.
You know, part of my family's story is we used to do camp. We were able to do Camp Lookout.
Nice.
So when I took the dean of students position, I was no longer able to do that, but it is in great hands. Lori Simmons, Caden Peterson, Dr. Carswell, they are taking care of that, and it's going to be beautiful this summer as well. But one of the most distinctive stories of that time in my life was that showed me the real reason why we do what we do is I had a young man who had just been given an old beat up minivan.
Okay.
And he was so proud of it. He did not have a father that taught him how to do things with vehicles. And he had a very, very, I would just say a troubling childhood with different situations in his life with his mom and just different people that she allowed in the house. You can imagine what I'm alluding to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he comes to me and he says, hey, Ryan, my van isn't running right. Can you check it out with me? I'm like, not only that, let's do it together. Like, let me show you some things.
Mm-hmm.
And so we popped the hood and my little Carson, who was 10 at that time, he's now just turned 17. He's probably 10 or 11 at the time. And I said, all right, well, let's check the oil. And I said, do you know how to pop the hood and check the oil? And he just put his head down and I go, hey, it's okay. And my son Carson said, hey, let me do it. And Carson pops the hood, gets the dipstick out and starts to check the oil. And I just see this young man's head just fall. And I addressed him by his name and I say, what's going on? And he's like, I'm embarrassed that your 10-year-old knows how to do this and I don't. And at that very moment on the deck of the cabin where my family stayed, I looked at him and I said, that is not your fault. You are a chain breaker. You're going to learn today at 21, and you're going to someday teach your sons and your daughters. You are going to break chains. And then we prayed and we cried.
I bet you did.
And my son Carson was there, and he to this day, he distinctly remembers that moment. That young man is doing amazing.
Mm-hmm.
He has a wife. He is, you know, hopefully soon going to have some kids,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but he is successful in ways that he would have never, ever imagined had it not been for his C of O story
mm-hmm.
and just people investing in him. Because I will say again, I was not the only person that invested in this young man.
Right.
there were so many that invested in him. He was a leader on campus. And if you would have known his background and his story, you would have never guessed that he could be where he was. Uh-huh. And he's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Oh, that is so inspiring. And I am so thankful for you sharing that because, you know, there are so many stories like that over and over, and you could tell them all day. Haven't been at the college for a number of years. And but I love that you bring this to light, and we can't always put a name to it, and we don't have to put a name to it, but know that is the C of O story. And it is my heart for people to at least hear that and know that, because when you serve an underserved population, mm-hmm. like we do, so about 90% of our students exhibit financial need. Mm-hmm. And so that ranges anywhere from maybe mom and dad were teachers or missionaries or pastors, or maybe there were problems in the home. Maybe there was illness.
Yep.
Sometimes, you know, people come in from single parent families or some even deeper dysfunction.
We see a lot of generational poverty.
Generational poverty.
You know, students that are trying to get out of something that's all they've known.
Right. And it's not their fault. Mm-hmm. And they didn't ask to have that as the situation. Mm-hmm. But we are coming alongside and giving them an opportunity. You know, I say a lot of times that we give students a chance, not just at an education, but give them a chance in life. And I really mean that, because I feel like that's true. Would you say that's true?
Oh, it's 100% true.
Yeah.
And I think the way that we are able to establish that at College of the Ozarks is through the way that we, staff and faculty, do our jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that the job that we have at College of the Ozarks is more than just a job.
Mm-hmm.
It is it's a mission. We go to work, and we know exactly why the Lord has put us there. I think of, you know, with me getting to work with, you know, resident directors, mm-hmm. I look at them as the person that is the direct contact, like a mom or dad would have been.
Sure.
While they're at College of the Ozarks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of the things that we try to establish there are, as we try to always use honoring speech, because a lot of times our students haven't experienced honoring speech.
Mm-hmm.
If we have to talk to them about difficult things, mm-hmm. we really don't want to make it sarcastic. We don't want to make a joke of it, because that oftentimes gets misconstrued, and that hurts feelings. But we want to make sure that we honor them in our speech, so that they know that when we talk to them, we respect them.
Mm-hmm.
We understand that they have maybe a different idea or concept than what we have for you know, the way that life should be on campus.
Mm-hmm.
But we also, you know, we try to establish that, you know, we're a gossip-free environment too. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to be a place that harbors gossip. So mm-hmm. I don't want to be a safe place for someone to start talking poorly about someone, because that's
right.
this is my community. And mm-hmm. I love the people in my community. They're great people. And the other thing is we strive to be, and this is what we talk about as resident directors and student activities director, we strive to be a resource. And if you don't, like if a student can't point, you know, put their finger on why you're a resource, then that means you need to evaluate what you're doing. Because if I'm not a resource, then I'm probably not doing my job or communicating my job well. And so we want to be a resource, you know, spiritually. We want to be a resource academically. I just finished my doctorate. I hope I can be an inspiration. I realized when I graduated that I am a first generation college student. My mom and dad went with me to defend my dissertation because they're just great people, and they just moved to the Hollister area. And I realized that I'm a first generation college student, and this is the farthest that any person in my family's ever gone. And that's an inspiration, but that's exactly what many of our students are going through, is this is the first time.
Yeah.
And people don't know that.
There's no path. They are charting a path.
You're charting it, and I have a vision of a young adult with a machete in hand,
yes,
getting those vines out of the way and just yes. charging forward to really what is unknown.
That's right.
And that's what we have to keep in our minds. Our perspective is this is a brand new experience for them. They do not know what to expect. And so we're going to give them the best experience possible.
Yeah. You're going to help them cut that path.
Yeah. And well, I like what you just said there. We're going to help them. They're going to cut that path. We're not going to do it for them.
Right.
I think that's the beauty of a work college and the fact that there's a chance for them to learn how to, you know, do this life outside of college and people aren't making all the decisions for them. We want them to make adult decisions.
That's right. They're learning to do a lot of things while they're on campus with us, I feel like. And which brings me to one piece of your job. And I've heard Dr. Sue Head, once again, I've heard the way that she words things, and I've just walked alongside her and just had her in my life for a few years now. And I like the way she articulates certain things, because she talks about the fact that each student there at College of the Ozarks chooses to be there.
Yes.
Right. So we have certain expectations in place. Lifestyle expectations and the work expectations and academics, of course. But talk to me a little about that and how that helps you do your job and how it helps you maybe communicate with students along the way.
I'd love to. And that's so funny, because as the person that came from, you know, student activities, which is, you know, Caden Peterson is our new student activities person, which I'll
and
just say it for
awesome.
The record, he does the job way better than I could have ever done it.
He's so fun.
I'm so proud of him. And he and his wife are another great example of people that live on the campus who, you know, like do their life in front of students on the campus. And, well, you know, people have always asked me the question, so is it really, you know, tough to kick somebody out? And which I first of all, I don't care for that.
It's not the right terminology,
because I don't kick anybody out. Students choose to stay or to go. And we are providing them with an environment of grace and accountability. We can't say that grace is just letting people off for, you know, not if they know a situation is wrong and they know that it does not meet the honor code. Just letting them off is not grace. That's just easy. And grace isn't always easy, but providing them with accountability would be, hey, you know, you've got some choices to make. You may need to leave college for a little while until you figure this out. And hopefully when you figure it out, we can talk and you can come back. More often than not, the conversations, the good, bad, and ugly conversations in my office are, we end with prayer every single time.
Amen.
And even the ones that are where the student has had to make the decision that they are going to leave, they shake my hand or they give me a hug. And I actually had this happen just not very, this is, I've only been in this role for two semesters. A person actually who had to leave said, thank you. They called me and said, thank you, because it was what they needed to wake up.
Wow.
And the great thing is that student's story is most likely not over at College of the Ozarks.
Right.
I have had the opportunity in my 11 years to work with students who had to leave, but they came back and they did great things.
They did great things
on campus. And that's the thing, is we don't, I think as a rule, as faculty and staff, we don't sell students short, because we are all human beings. And we have all fallen short of the glory of God, and we make mistakes. And that's what makes College of the Ozarks a real place, is that we understand that as administrators, as faculty, as staff, we understand that people aren't going to be perfect. But if you just let, you know, God is a great judge, okay? And he, if there's things in our world that aren't right, he's going to judge us accordingly. But he's also fair. And he provides us with the opportunities to reconcile with him. And I think we do the same thing as a college, is we allow people to reconcile these decisions. And, you know, we could say it's a second chance, but some students take full advantage of grace and accountability. Mm-hmm. And others push it away. Down the road, mm-hmm. I have faith that they will look at it and say, I maybe handled that the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And that's okay, because we all have those moments in our life. Mm-hmm. That's part of being a fallen creature.
That's right. That's right. Which we all are.
Yes.
But seeds are being planted either
Absolutely.
Way, right? So
Absolutely.
Whether they grow now or they grow 10 years from now, you mm-hmm. know that you've planted seeds of truth in that person's life by loving them enough to say truth and to speak truth into their lives, right?
I've seen that, you know, before I was in this role, Dr. Nick Sharp was the dean of students, and he did that over and over and over. Mm-hmm. He, you know, people always look at him as this hammer. Mm-hmm. That there's not a person that I have seen who cares about students as much as that gentleman. And mm-hmm. he's a great example for a lot of people to follow.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm so appreciative of what you do. Everything that you just said right there, that's some heavy stuff. I mean, that's mm-hmm. weighty things, really, honestly, to kind of carry on your shoulder. And I know that you've got to spend time just giving that up to the Lord mm-hmm. or you're almost overwhelmed with it.
Yeah. Well, and that's why every single meeting I have, I have this little round table in my office, and it always ends in prayer. And I don't know how many. I would love to maybe count someday, but I have prayed with so many people at that table,
Amen.
Whether they're faculty, staff, if they're a student, every single time they come in. And mm-hmm. and here's mm-hmm. the amazing thing, Val, is mm. my job isn't just discipline. I have so many students that come into my office and they just ask for wisdom. They just want someone to listen to them. Mm-hmm. I would say my job is more preventative than reactive, mm-hmm. proactive. You know, we are meeting students where they are so mm-hmm. that they will make wise decisions. Isn't that really what life's about, is mm-hmm. making wise decisions? It mm-hmm. doesn't matter what it is, whether it's choosing your career path or choosing that person that you're going to someday marry. It's the Lord didn't create that one perfect person, but he does help us make wise choices mm-hmm. so that we can, you know, if other people are blessed the way I am with my life, and I get to do mission with my wife mm-hmm. every single day because we have the mission of working with young adults. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want college students to see, is
that's
that
right.
we work together because God designed it that way.
That's right.
And it makes everything just that much sweeter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that description. And that's so right. I like the way you put it's all of the small decisions. Like, we all make decisions every day, mm-hmm. right? So wouldn't it be nice if we focus on what am I putting into my life, and what is the output from what I'm putting in, and instead of focusing on what can I not do, what do I have to stay away from? You know, that's not the mindset I don't believe that God would have us to have. And I love the way you focus on that. I feel like it's also, from everything that you're saying, it comes back around to community.
It really does.
So we learn how what we do and what we say and what we think and what we put out into our surroundings affects somebody else, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, my wife has this great saying. She always says, "You can't give what you don't have."
Mm.
And so if you are, you know, really wanting a good community, and you have to kind of establish that good community. And I think College of the Ozarks has done that. And the other thing, I think, when we go back to that conversation about how our students make wise decisions, but they also make some bad decisions, we have to remember that we, as, you know, faculty, staff, administrators, we do the same thing. It's always fun to ask the question, "So Val, when did you quit sinning?" And right. We know the Whoops. Answer, right? I mean, it's mm-hmm. just all of us, you know, make mistakes. But one little thing that I feel like I'm able to establish with students every time they come to my office is I say, one situation does not define you,
mm-hmm.
but mm-hmm. how you react to that situation does.
That's powerful.
It is. And it's crazy how many of these students, it's almost as if that's the first time they've ever heard that.
Oh, and it probably is the first time they've ever heard that.
And we get to provide them with that information. We get to show them that life isn't about 100%, you know, hitting the ball every time. Mm-hmm. It's about striking out. It's about being down on your luck and pulling mm-hmm. yourself back up, using your resources, and realizing that you could quit, just like a bunch of people have quit in their life. You could quit, but if you react in a different way, the Lord honors that. And that's the story of College of the Ozarks. Look at our history. See where we were. Mm. See where we are now. Mm. And see how things have just changed. I think of stories from when Dr. Davis started, of how he really had to change so many things to bring College of the Ozarks back from mission drift. And then we see Dr. Johnson, who is doing things a little bit differently too. And there's each person grabbed the baton and brought it a little bit farther and is making College of the Ozarks even greater. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I could not be more proud of the institution I work for.
My name is Reagan, and I am proud to be a student at College of the Ozarks. For more than a century, students like myself have been able to work on campus to offset the cost of tuition and graduate debt-free. With over 100 workstations to choose from, we are able to learn skills that will prepare us for the workforce, and we get to make items for you to enjoy, like our classic fruitcake, candles, student milled products, and fruit spreads. I love my college, and I know you will too. Check us out and learn more about our student-made products at cofo.edu.
So, Ryan, I want to ask you just a couple more questions, and you really have addressed them to some degree already through the stories that you've told, mm-hmm. which is wonderful, and tell us more stories. we could listen all day to stories, and that's what this podcast is all about. But would you just kind of tell for our audience, what do you think it means to our students to live and study and work in a Christian environment?
That's a great question, Valerie. And I think it's really encapsulated by, I'm sure we've talked about the empty cross that is going to be at the front of our college. And it's where we see the campus through the vision, the lens of the cross. And then when we leave campus, we see this mission field that we can impact for Christ. Students, when they come here, we want them to see people, adults, faculty, staff, administrators, who truly rely on Christ to make decisions. When I say make decisions, I mean making each little decision that you have during the day. I love to read my Bible, and I get inspired by the messages that I hear. I'm currently in the midst of a study of Philippians. And talking, seeing how there's so much joy that Paul is expressing because he's in jail, but he's writing this letter to the Philippians, and he's saying, hey, have this joy because for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Don't worry about me because the gospel is going to keep going. Mm. And we want to live a gospel-centered life. We want our life to be an example to whoever sees it. And, you know, our marriages are examples of the gospel. The question we always ask is, what is the message that it's sending? And it can be the gospel. Every day at lunch, I'm able to do the announcements, and I get to, you know, there's a person that prays, but I've been sharing the scripture of the day. And I had a student come up to me, and she said, I'm so glad that you're sharing a scripture every day. Because for some, that is the only Bible they will see. Well, reading your Bible is a big part of this Christian environment, but it's not the only part. It's doing the things that Jesus did. Jesus looked upon the crowd, and he had compassion. We want our students to be so full of compassion, no matter where they are, whether they're on the campus, whether they are on spring break, whether they're graduated. We want them to be so full of compassion so that they have examples of seeing, when people see a need, they go meet the need. And wouldn't that be beautiful if every single person saw a need and went out and met the need.
Mm.
That's what we want our students to do. And that's what our students are doing. They're doing that for each other. When my father-in-law passed away, this young man who had a really rough upbringing. He's told me his story. He's eaten dinner at my house, sat in our hot tub. I mean, he's just a great, great guy. He was one of the first students to write me a little note and then come by and give me the biggest hug when my father-in-law passed away. He saw a need, he had compassion, and he met the need. And very many of the people that see this young man on campus wouldn't have ever thought that was in his wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
But that is his biggest love language, is caring about people.
Mm. Mm. That is wonderful. And I can just see it. I see it on your countenance right now. And it's inspiring. And I just love that spirit and that love for Christ and Christ's love flowing through you. And knowing that that's that environment that these students get to live and grow and thrive in. And man, it's just my prayer right now today that whoever's listening to this podcast would be encouraged.
Absolutely.
and would sense that coming through right through from you, because I sense it so heavily. I can tell that you pray over your day and over your words. And so Lord Jesus, in your name, let someone be encouraged right now.
Absolutely.
And let them know that C of O is an amazing academic institution and it's a work college. But man, Christ is alive on that campus, and that's what we want people to know. And come on over and experience with us. And if you have any questions, talk to us along the way. Students are willing to talk to you. And I, of course, am in the public relations office, and there's just lots of folks at that college that are rooting for you today, because our heart's desire is to ship those students right back out into the world, and not to sequester them from the world, but to have them prepared and ready to go out into
you
it.
You're exactly right. And you think about what that whole message that we've just been talking about is, that we serve a Savior who paid our debt.
Amen.
And then I know this is kind of sounds cheesy, but when students leave our college, they leave with their debts paid. They're debt free. And I look at that as such a neat parallel, because I remember when I left college, I opened up this folder and I thought I had it made. I had a football scholarship, I had a track scholarship, I had an academic scholarship, and I still owed a lot of money. And I was like, what am I going to do? I have a house payment, but I don't even have a job yet. What's going on?
What is going on here?
I was freaked out.
Yeah.
But then when I see that my debts were paid through Jesus's death on the cross, and then I see that I get to work for an institution that really, I mean, in a lot of ways, we're trying to emulate what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. And I know it's education, it's different, but leaving this institution debt-free and not having that weight, just like I would say the weight of sin, knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven you of your sins, not having that weight and be able to start fresh and new, I love that concept. And I love that the institution that I work for, that's one of their distinctives, is we want students to start off without all the weight and the heaviness that a lot of other college students, unfortunately, are going to have to deal with all the student loan.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that it is a neat parallel to take away.
It absolutely is. I love that. Beautifully said. Beautifully said. Man, if you are listening and you want to apply, I encourage you to apply. Or if you're a mom or a dad or a grandparent or whoever, encourage that young person to apply to College of the Ozarks, because you don't know until you try. Mm. So what we are describing, I know it sounds a little bit almost too good to be true, but it is true. It is real. I have in flesh and blood right in front of me, Ryan Knight. This is a real person, and this is a real conversation that we're having. But my goodness, what a blessing, and what a blessing it is to work and serve at a place like this. So I appreciate you, Ryan. I want to end with a really lighthearted question. Maybe, I don't know, maybe this might be the hardest question that I give you. What is your favorite ice cream at the Keter Center?
Oh, man.
That's tell me you're an ice cream fan.
I am an ice cream fan.
Okay. But I haven't hit on anyone yet that doesn't love ice cream.
I'm a boring ice cream person.
That's
I
okay.
am just a chocolate.
Chocolate.
Chocolate ice
chocolate
cream
all the way
with a yes chocolate all the way with a big sugar cone because those are great. The waffle okay. cones that they
yeah,
make
all the waffle cones
pretty
are
amazing.
Amazing.
One of the students that currently works there I'm really close to, and you know, I'm sure he'd like me to try a different flavor, but I'm a chocolate guy.
He's holding out, but you're not coming through. You're sticking
all.
With the chocolate. I love
very
it.
Consistent with chocolate.
I love it. Consistency is great. Well, you're awesome, Ryan. We just wish you all the best and prayers for a great rest of the school year.
Hey, guess what?
What?
You are loved and you matter.
Thank you. That's awesome.
Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Listen in each month as we hear the stories of the cycle breakers, passion seekers, and image bearers who write the College of the Ozarks story one chapter at a time. For more information on College of the Ozarks, visit cofo.edu.